All right, the question we're going to look at today is, are you on belay? Are you on belay? So somebody tell me who's a climber in here? I know we've got the climbers. Got a few. Some people I know are climbers, aren't raising their hand, but I know we got climbers. What does it mean to be, on belay?
Clipped in.
You're clipped in, okay? What else? You're on belay. What does it mean?
You have a ground man.
You got somebody on the ground, okay? Over here.
You are ready to keep someone safe.
You are ready to keep somebody safe. How do you do that? What is that? Because?
Do you want the whole thing?
That's fine. I was just going to see if you could expound, but you're clipped in, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I get it. That's fine. So we're just going to watch a quick 1 minute little snippets from an REI video. So was the video pretty accurate for those of you that climb? So how attentive does a belayer have to be?
Constant.
Constant. You don't want them on their cell phone. That's right.
I'll get with you in a minute.
Yeah. I'm busy right now. Yeah. Yeah, obviously you want to be you're extremely attentive when you are on belay. And this is how I want to bring it home to us. Obviously, I don't want to talk about mountain climbing today, but I want to talk about you being in a position where you are helping people draw near to God. That's what we're talking about today. Being on belay, you're helping people draw near to God. Now, there's not many places in the Bible where the Bible says the exact same thing word for word, but there are a few places in the Bible like that. And here's one of those places. It's in this verse right here is found both in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, and it's found in Micah chapter 4, verse 2. All right, here's what those verses say. It says, many peoples and nations will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. All right, now if this is a prophecy and we believe this prophecy is true, and if that's true, that many people are going to say, let us draw near to God. Let us go up the mountain of God. Let us walk in God's paths. How many know that our world then needs people that are on belay? They need people that are happy to help them make the climb. People that are happy to come alongside those that are saying, let us go up to the mountain of God. Let us walk in his paths. Okay, are you kind of catching what I'm talking about today? That we're attentive to people. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 34. He says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? And Jesus says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields because they are ripe for harvest. All right, so what is Jesus saying? He's saying there's a harvest of people. He's talking to his disciples, but he's saying to them, but they need God's people to be on belay, right? He needs God's people that say, I want to serve as a climbing guide, you know, for those who are wanting to draw near to God, that are saying, I want to walk in God's paths. And Jesus is saying, we need our eyes to be on that harvest. And so when I ask you, are you on belay this morning? I'm asking, are you attentive to what God might be doing in the lives of people around you? Are you attentive? Are you seeing what God is doing in the lives of people in your neighborhood, in your dorm, in your classrooms? Can you visualize the people that are near you experimenting with different experiments that people might do in their life? Can you visualize them as individuals who are actually seeking out God's mountain? That they're actually seeking out God's paths. And so more important, are you willing to be on belay and draw them to that place of being close to God? And so to that end, I want to share just a 5-part series that we're calling On Belay, all right? So it'll be the next 5 weeks. We'll take a break during Easter. We'll have a different message that Sunday. But the twofold goal of these 5 messages, all right, there's 2 goals. First goal is this, is that it's going to help us visualize, it's going to help us understand that any of us can be on belay, okay? Any of us can do this. You don't have to be an extrovert. You can be an introvert who is on belay, right? The 12 disciples, you have extroverts and you have introverts, right? You've got Peter, who you hear from all the time, and you've got some disciples you never hear a word from. Literally, there's some disciples we never hear anything that they said. You know, they're probably more like me. Yeah, what were you going to say?
I have a question. What is on belay instead of with belay?
That's a good phrase. It means like you're clipped on. The rope is actually clipped into you, and so you are on, you are belayed. You are on belay. You are watching. That's just the term that climbers use. So we're just borrowing that term. Yeah, I know. I mean, that's why we showed the video. But yeah, it's a good question. It's the phrase they use. When they say on belay, it's a question. The climber says, are you on belay? Are you with me? Are you watching? Are you attentive to what's happening?
I just learned what belay means.
Good, good. That's what we're doing right now. Yeah, that's so yeah, listen up. So this is, that's the idea. When somebody clips in and they say, are you on belay? Yes, I'm on belay. Belay on, right? You can climb. And so the idea is Jesus is asking you this morning, this is the most important part, you don't have to learn how to climb. Like, are your eyes watching for people that want to draw near to God but don't know how? It's the idea of we're going to be climbing guides, helping people, all right? So we're going to look at this for 5 weeks. Again, two-part goal. First part is anybody can be on belay. Anybody can be somebody whose eyes are open, somebody who has a heart that says, I want to see people draw near to God. If that's what they want, I want to help them with that, all right? And then the other part of this, the other goal of this five-part series would be, I just want to give you some habits that we can engage in to help us be somebody who's on mission, all right? That's what on belay means for us. We're on mission. We are part of God's army, what he wants to accomplish, all right? So the five habits that we're going to look at, if you were here like 2 years ago, year and a half ago, we did a series very similar to this. I've made some tweaks to it, but there's going to be five habits. And the first habit is going to be to bless others. And we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about five different ways that we can be a blessing and just to love people in our proximity, right? To bless them in certain ways, to draw them near to God. E stands for eat with others. And we're going to talk about the importance of the table and how strategic and how much God can use just the table, our table, their table, talking about God's table. L stands for learning Christ. And that particular week, we're going to talk about how we can learn Jesus, all right? We're going to look at the Jesus. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so as we learn Christ, we're going to be studying the scripture. We're going to be listening to the living Christ right now, looking to where what Christ is when he comes back. And so that'll be learning Christ. A stands for ask questions, and we're going to talk about four different questions, types of questions we can ask people for that Sunday. And then today, though, we're going to look at the why, and why stands for you on belay. Let's go to the next screen. You on belay, that's the most important habit, is that you would visualize yourself as being on mission, okay? Again, I'm just going to use the phrase on belay, on mission to kind of mean the same thing. On mission, on belay, same thing for us. And why is this habit's the most important? Why would you think this particular habit would be the most important of all the habits we'll talk about the next few weeks? Why is you seeing you on mission, why is that the most important? What would you say, Jared? Sure.
To do it.
Right.
I don't necessarily feel called to that, but Jesus called everybody. So
that's good.
We all
yeah, we're all on mission. We're all on belay. Yeah, that's right.
If we see ourselves that way, then we will be constantly aware of opportunities.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Right. Yeah. Yeah, if I don't see myself as like on belay, right, why would I even bother engaging with the other habits? Right? Why would I even consider them? So yeah, this is the mindset. And if we were to you know, talk literally about literally being at a crag, a climbing crag, I've gone up and we've gone up with Noah and Ron at times. And if I am not the one holding the rope, if I'm not on belay, guess what I'm doing? And I'm not climbing and I'm not on belay, what am I doing? I'm distracted. That's right. I'm messing around. I'm on my phone. I'm down by the river. I'm tossing stones in the creek. I'm just having a great time, right? It's different. It's when you have the rope attached to your belt, your harness, everything changes. Okay? You realize, oh man, this is on me. And so again, if we bring this to the idea of being on mission for God, that when I realize, oh, it's me, right? It's me. My eyes have to, again, like Jesus said, look at the harvest. It's already ripe. It's already here. So I'm going to mindfully engage. And so Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. All right? So this is the Bible language, Christ's ambassadors. This is the idea of being on mission. This is the idea of being on belay, okay? As though God were making his appeal through us. So the question we're going to look at today is, you know, how do we get ourselves into that mindset? How does it happen that I see me, you, that you see you as being a person who is on belay, that you're on mission with him, that you are one of these ambassadors? So what we're going to do is we're just going to take the letters of Y-O-U, and the Y-O-U is going to help us understand how we can view ourselves. And so what we have here is literally an acrostic within an acrostic, okay? So I want you to appreciate the...
Your English teacher would be proud.
I know, she would. And it reminds me of Inception. Have you seen the movie Inception? So Inception, you have a dream within a dream within a dream, right? So today we're having an acrostic within an acrostic. And I promise we're only going to go two layers deep. This is as deep as we're going to go. I don't want to lose you entirely. Okay, so you on mission, you on belay, you as an ambassador, you with your eyes open, you as a climbing guide, you being the one that says it's on me to see the mission and to be on mission in helping people make that journey. Okay, how do you do that? Well, these are the three letters. First, you got to say yes to the mission. Okay, then you got to own the responsibility, and then you got to understand the cost. Okay, yes to the mission, own the responsibility, understand the cost. And so we're going to start with yes to the mission. So how many know? All right. So who's this guy? Yeah, but he's playing a part. What's his name in this movie?
Mission Impossible.
It's Mission Impossible. Come on. This is Ethan Hunt. Okay, Ethan Hunt. And Ethan Hunt is you know where he's at right here in this movie? This is Mission Impossible 2. He's climbing in Utah. Anybody want to guess where in Utah?
Moab.
Yep, Moab. He's at Dead Horse Point, actually, in that area. Dead Horse Point State Park. And apparently he does a lot of his own climbing. So let's all be impressed. But so on our flight to we just a week or so ago, right? We flew to Florida, and we flew United there, and we flew Frontier back, and like, wow, what a contrast. But so they had movies in United, and I watched Mission Impossible Part 5, I think, is that right? It's Dead Reckoning Part 1. It's a new movie. You know how some movies you watch and you hear that the movie was expensive to make, but you can't quite tell that it was expensive? This movie, you can tell, was expensive. Like, I mean, this one is one of the more expensive movies ever made. I think they spent close to $300 million on it. And you can watch the millions of dollars blowing up and burning, and it's actually pretty impressive. But so this is part two. This is almost 20 years. This is 24 years ago. All that's beside the point. What is the one phrase you hear in every Mission Impossible movie?
If you choose to accept this mission.
Pretty close.
It's impossible.
Well, it's impossible, but come on, everybody. What is the one phrase that you hear from the
beginning?
Yeah, your mission, should you choose to accept it. That's it. Your mission, should you choose to accept it. Yeah, this message will self-destruct. See, back in the 90s, they said this tape will self-destruct, but now they're making movies like this. I think the one I watched on the plane, they say this message will self-destruct because nobody knows what a tape is anymore. Right? So here's the thing. I think I watched this movie quite a while ago, but I believe Ethan Hunt gets the call while he's climbing. I think that's how it works out. Somebody, people are nodding their head. He gets the call while he's climbing, right? Now, if Ethan does not say yes, there's no movie, right? So he says yes to the mission, and that's when the movie starts. And that's how it is with God. And when we say yes to helping God, does he need help? Yeah, he actually invites us into the mission, right? When we say yes to that, that's when the story starts. That's when life gets exciting. Mm-hmm. That's when the journey happens. That's when the adventure takes place. Okay, if Frodo never took the ring, he says, not for me, the movie doesn't start, right? There's no movie, there's no story. It starts with the yes. So when our kids were really little, we tapped into a two-word phrase that felt almost like magic. And it was a magic phrase that caused them to actually be obedient. Do you want to know what that two-word phrase was? Are you ready? It was either yes, mommy, or yes, daddy. That's all it was. And we literally practiced this with our kids. I remember specifically, like with Noah, we played a game where we would say, Noah, you got to go to another part of the house. And he said, when you hear me say, Noah, you're supposed to run. And he learned. And he would run. He would say, yes, daddy. And that was beautiful. And we would say, oh, Noah, that's music to our ears. And pretty soon he got to where he would run and he'd say, yes, daddy, is that music to your ears? It's like, yes, okay. So here's how the game kind of worked. We would say the name, they were supposed to come, and they would say, yes, mommy, yes, daddy. And then we would give an instruction, and here's where it got a little bit more difficult. We give an instruction, and they were to respond again with, yes, daddy. Yes, mommy, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that right away.
That too, yeah, that's right. We talked about obedience is right away, all the way, and with a happy heart. But the most difficult part about the game was after we gave the instruction. Okay, we give the instruction, and getting them to like happily say yes, mommy, or yes, daddy was really, really tough. But this is where the magic happened. When they actually articulated yes, mommy, they went and did it. It was something about the yes that broke down the resistance to doing what they were called to do, okay? And that's why we start here. We start with yes. We say yes, yes, Lord, okay? Yes, I will do as you say. And how about this? How about we say yes even before we know what God is calling us to do? All right, we start with the yes. And so there's a story in the book of Acts where this happens, and I think it's beautiful. This is Acts chapter 9, verse 10. It says, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And this is on the screen, Noah. This is all we know about Ananias. Until this point in Scripture, we've never heard of Ananias. It just says that he was a disciple. He wasn't an evangelist. He wasn't a teacher. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't one of the original 12. He's just a disciple. He was like, until this point, he was an NPC, right, guys? All right, looking over at my Gen Zers over here. He was a non-player character, okay? So he was just part of the scenery. God calls to him and he says, Ananias, and then the Lord calls to him in a vision, Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. And I love that. I love that Ananias responds with, yes, Lord. And I see just a couple of things in that verse. I see that God speaks to his people, okay? Jesus is already resurrected. We're 9 chapters into the book of Acts. God speaks to his people. He speaks to us in dreams and visions and into our impressions that he gives us. And he speaks to Ananias. And then Ananias says yes. And sometimes I wonder, you know, we think, why don't I hear from God? Well, maybe you haven't said yes yet, okay? Start with the yes and see if God begins to speak. Verse 11, it says, then the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. All right, so now Ananias is starting to push back, right? He's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have answered with yes so soon. But he's already said yes, and so here's where the story starts. Verse 15, it says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. And imagine how scary this would have been. Can you imagine? Ananias knows that Paul has been responsible for the death of some of Ananias' own brothers and sisters in the faith, right? But here he is. He's laying his hands on Saul. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And we know the rest of the story, right? We know that Paul, he was born again. He said, Paul himself said yes, right? He planted churches all over the ancient world. He wrote most of the New Testament. But how did Paul end up doing all of that? Because of Ananias, okay? Ananias, a little no-name disciple. And he goes back into obscurity after this story. We don't know much about Ananias, but Ananias was used to be that belayer for the Apostle Paul, okay? So my challenge is, can we be that kind of community? Can we be a community that says yes to the Lord before we even know what he's going to ask? Can we be that? And Lord, we pray for whatever is happening in the nursery that if a child needs attention, we just bless the children today. So can we trust him enough to say yes? Can we trust him, his character enough to say yes to the mission? Okay, so that's why. We're talking about you being on mission. Letter Y stands for yes to the mission. Okay, O stands for own the responsibility. Own the responsibility. So there are climbing gyms all over the area. This is actually us. I am on belay. Patty is up on that mound up there. That's Ron in the background. You see her? She's saying, own the responsibility to me. All right. This is me over here climbing on the side. And so, and you can go to these gyms and you can get what's called belay certified. How many are belay certified in here? Raise your hand. All right, and I, just like Noah has done to me, when we first got here, he says, you need to go get belay certified if you're going to have a church called belay, right? So he got on me, and I went and got belay certified, and I challenge you as well to get belay certified. Why? So that you can understand the importance of owning the responsibility of somebody dangling on a rope 50 feet above you, right? There's something that's important about understanding that somebody's life is literally in your hands. Okay, the reason that the climber says on belay and the reason that the belayer says belay on, it's to communicate that the responsibility has been owned. That it's been owned by that belayer. It's an agreement that nobody else is more responsible for your life than me right now. I am on belay. And one of the oldest sins of humanity is the sin of not owning responsibility for our brother, for our sister. That's one of the oldest sins in the book. Do you remember the story about Cain killing Abel? Do you remember the conversation that took place between God and Cain? Let's listen to it. Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, it says, now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And so to paraphrase Cain, it's like he's saying, how should I know where Abel is? He's not my responsibility. And so we're tempted to think this thought right here. We're tempted to think in our minds, if other people want to screw up their life, then that's on them. If other people want to screw up their life, that's on them. But how do we square that with the character of the God of the Bible? Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, God speaking, he says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. All right. And so we have to own the responsibility of God's mission. That's why Jesus says to the guys, right? The guys, I think in that passage in John 4, Jesus, where I had read earlier, where he says, look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. The disciples were actually thinking about lunch. That's what was on their mind, right? Oh, Jesus, we should go get some food, right? That's what they were thinking about. And Jesus is pointing them to the harvest. And so we have a reluctance to own the responsibility of God's mission. We think it's always somebody else's job. And so watch this play out in the lives of the disciples. Matthew chapter 14, 15 to 18. It says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Verse 16, Jesus says, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. It's kind of like Jesus is saying, why should we send the people away when I know for a fact that you guys have bread? Why should we send them to find food when you've got the food? You have bread, share it, okay? But just like us, they begin to make excuses. We don't have enough. We don't even know how we're going to organize this. And we can fill in our own excuse. I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. I don't know how to do this. And Jesus is like, just bring me what you've got and watch what I can do. Okay, bring me what you have and watch what I can do with what you have. And so think about this. The miracle, everybody knows about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, right? But the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 did not happen until the disciples were willing to own the responsibility for feeding the 5,000, even with nothing. But once the disciples said, okay, all right, here you go, Jesus, that's when the miracle took place. Jesus could have, you know, snapped his fingers and made 5,000 loaves appear out of nothing, but he didn't. He waited for the disciples to own this responsibility and say, okay, it's actually on us. And God's going to work through me. He's going to work through you. He's going to work through us, okay? So miracles don't happen oftentimes until we own that responsibility, until we reach out and we pray, until we reach out and we give, until we reach out and say, yes, Lord, I want to be on mission. I don't have what it takes, but I'm going to trust God with what I have, and with God's help, I'm going to own this. All right, so that's O. U stands for understand the cost. Understand the cost. And so God thankfully actually leads the way in this, doesn't he? God pays that price. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that what? That he wished that it would just get better? That, you know, that says God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God loved this world so much that he became flesh, the Bible says. He dwelled among us. He took on flesh. He endured ridicule. He endured misunderstanding from people in his own hometown, his own family, persecution. Then Jesus, he went to the cross for the very people that inflicted all the pain. Again, it brings us back to the story of St. Patrick, right? St. Patrick goes to Ireland to minister to the very people that had enslaved him. Jesus rose from the dead, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And why did he do this? I mean, he did it so he could give us, he could give you and me the free gift of eternal life, right? To experience a restored relationship with God. So because he counted the cost and because he paid that price, he gives life to anybody who asks for it. And many of you in here, you're recipients of the forgiveness, of the new life, being born again, all right? And if you haven't yet, it's free, okay? It's free. We just reach out and say, Jesus, I need you. forgive me, come into my heart, be Lord of my life, okay? So what I'm asking of you today, though, is that will you just read the Gospels, understand the cost, understand what Jesus is actually calling us to? Will you then pay that price to make sure people have the opportunity to hear? Will you engage in the habits we're going to be talking about this next month of messages? That's the challenge. Will you also endure some of the ridicule, some of the misunderstanding, some of the same things that Jesus faced so people can meet Jesus, all right? So here again, that verse that we read earlier, Acts chapter 9, verse 15 to 16, says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" And that often is the case for those who say yes to the mission. That's often the case for those who say that own that responsibility, that there is a cost of saying yes to all of this. And so I'm certainly not going to offer any kind of escape from that. I'm just saying today, understand it. Okay, understand that being on mission with Jesus doesn't mean everything goes awesome for you. That there's tough times that do come. So let's review, okay? So we're starting a series today called On Belay. And in this series, we're going to explore five habits. Starting next week, we're going to talk about blessing others. And then we're going to have Easter. And then we're going to talk about the importance of the table, eating with others. We're going to talk about the importance of just learning Jesus. Because if we're going to be on belay, on mission with Jesus, we better learn about him and his heart and how he functioned around people, right? And then we're going to learn about asking questions. And then today we talked about the most important habit of all. It's when you see yourself as being on mission. That God has, just like Paul says, he's my chosen instrument. You, seeing you as God's chosen instrument, whether it be in Longmont or whether you're living in Westminster or whether you're a student at CU or whether you're in, where are you at, Jared?
Westminster,
okay. That's why you did that. Yeah, of course. It's you seeing that God has put me here. He's put me at Fairview, all right? He's put me at Boulder High. He's put me where he's put me to be on mission. And so what does that YOU stand for? Let's review that as well. It says, starts with a yes. Okay, remember the beauty. It's music to God's ears when you just say yes. Lord, whatever it is, I say yes to it. And then you own it. Oh, wow, Lord, this is actually bigger than I thought. That's all right, own it. Okay, own that responsibility and just realize God's going to fill in the gaps that where you're not big enough. Because you're not big enough. God doesn't give you a mission that you can manage. Okay, God gives you a mission that you can't manage and you need his help, that you need his multiplication to step in. And then understand the cost. You don't get the rewards in this life. It's later on in eternity where we can experience the rewards of following and saying yes to Jesus. So I want us to pray, but before I pray, I just want to just pause, just have a moment of quiet. And will you, this is the mission. Do you choose to accept it?
Yes.
Do you want a good movie to start? Okay, and so let's just pause. Father, I pray that you would speak to us right now in this moment of quiet. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we don't want to be a church that just has to have some professional on staff that does the job of evangelism. That's not your heart. You've put all of us in various circles, in various contexts. And Father, help us just to start today with seeing ourselves as being the one that you have appointed, that we are here for such a time as this, that yes, like Jared, yeah, he's in Westminster. We have these boys at Fairview. We have students here from CU. We have people living in Longmont. We have people living here in Boulder. Lord, all of us, we've been placed in our neighborhoods and in our context as someone who's on belay, somebody who's on mission, somebody who is an ambassador for Jesus.
Yes.
And so just in this moment, just you can say, just quietly to yourself, just go through these. Just say yes to him. Say, Lord, I own it. Lord, I understand it. Thank you, Lord. And so, Father, as we just go through the next few weeks, I pray that as we would just soak up some of these habits and mindsets and ideas to engage with your mission, to have a heart to see people loved and prayed for and have their minds opened up to receive the good news of your gospel. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.